Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. I can't tell you how excited I am for this episode. I have been listening to this band for more than half my life. One of my favorite metal bands of all time. Absolute legends. Cannibal Corpse frontman George Corpse Grinder Fisher is here on the program. This guy's a talker. This was awesome. He was so honest, so forthcoming, told some incredible stories. It was so great to have him. I cannot wait for you all to hear this awesome episode. Before we get into it, though, a couple things. I want to remind you, you can always send me an email if you want to get in touch. If you've got anything to say, suggestions for future guests or advice or whatever, the email address is leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read them all. I have periods of time where I'm good at emailing back, and there's times when I'm really not. So you might get me on a good week, but hit me up regardless. Also, make sure you follow me on social media and don't sleep on Twitch. That is the newest, the latest, the greatest platform. I am doing tons of podcasts on there every Tuesday, in fact, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just started doing this, but I've already had incredible guests like John Foreman of Switchfoot, Derek Sanders of Mayday Parade. It's been a really good time. So yes, the link for that is twitch.tv/ShaneTold. It is completely free. You can watch the podcast live with video. It's a different experience. Don't worry, we're not transitioning completely over there. We'll always do it here on the podcast feed as well. But if you want to catch it live, you want to interact with me and the guests, it's really, really awesome. So yeah, twitch.tv/ShaneTold, completely free. But if you do want to throw me a bone, because, you know, there are costs associated with this thing, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club as well. leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And just for a few bucks a month, that gets you in bonus content, bonus episodes, an amazing community of other fans of the show, access to merchandise, and all that good stuff. So that's it. leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And while I have you, my band Silverstein, this Saturday, we are wrapping up our three-part virtual concert series. This one, if you're a Cannibal Corpse fan, you might not be too interested in this one because it's the stripped-down acoustic unplugged performance. But we did rock the last 2 weeks, and I want to thank everybody who has already bought tickets for it. If you haven't, though, if you missed the first two, that's okay. They're on demand until March 1st. So head over to silversteinstore.com and get your tickets for all three shows, or if you just want to watch one of them or whatever you want to do. It's super cool. We've got really cool merchandise associated with this event as well, and VIP packages and all that stuff too. So yeah, silversteinstore.com. Other than that, I just want to thank you so much for being here, so much for supporting this podcast. And I want to thank my publicist, Amy, and everyone on George's team for making this happen. So excited for this interview. Here it is, my conversation with George Corpse Grinder Fisher of Cannibal Corpse. They live, they die. Man, it's really nice to have you on the show. Thank you for taking the time. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I got to say, man, when I started it, you were definitely a dream guest of mine. Been a huge Cannibal Corpse fan for more than half my life. So it's really great to have you.
Good to be here.
Thanks, man. So what a year, right? I mean, we can just start with that. Pretty obvious. You guys didn't play any shows in 2020, which for you guys, I mean, the absolute road dogs that you are, how's this been for you? I mean, just mentally, I mean, it must be so weird.
Well, to be honest, 2020 was going to be pretty much all for us anyway.
Right.
For writing the new album. I mean, we got we really got lucky. Obviously, I know tons of other people that got screwed over by this whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we had it planned out that the last tour we did in the U.S. in 2019, that was going to be the last tour for the cycle. And we didn't have anything planned unless we got the album done, excuse me, in time to do a tour, maybe at the end of 2020.
Right.
It was tentative, you know, tour that we might have done if, you know, everything worked out. But then everything hit and we were doing the album anyway. So we kind of, we were really lucky. I mean, I feel really bad for a lot of the guys I know. I mean, Dyer's Murder came over from Australia, you know, and then they had to just turn around and leave, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal.
You know, and our sound man, you know, Johnny Knobs, he works with them, you know, when we're not touring. And he was going to be doing that tour. And, you know, of course, you know, expecting the money and everything. And, you know, so that got him and, you know, our drum tech, you know, Chris, he, you know, had stuff, Babyface, our t-shirt guy, Kenny, you know, they all
for sure
had tours and stuff lined up, you know, outside of us. And they all got canceled, you know, with this COVID thing. So, it was a crazy year. It's still kind of a crazy year coming now, you know, with 2021. But I mean, look, man, every year has got some stuff. I mean, nothing like this, obviously, you know. I'm not trying to downplay it, like,
sure.
Well, it's something bad in a year, because there's always something bad every year. But because this is something, you know, no one, you know, we never faced this, you know. But going back to the original question, yeah, we got lucky for us. We were not planning to be out anyway. And now with, you know, with the album going to be coming out, it's going to be tricky, and hopefully we can get back out, because yeah, we definitely do a lot of touring. Yep. And, I mean, and, you know, we tour to a lot, we go to a lot of places, and it's going to be tricky how it works out. And we'll see what all happens, you know, with vaccines going out and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we'll see what, you know, governments and the U.S. and how that all works out with what's going on.
But I know, it's wild. Well, the new record, you just mentioned it, Violence Unimagined, is out April 16th, your 15th record. What is that, like your 11th with you, George? Wild.
Yep.
But I mean, we're taught, you know, bands that, you know, started in the 90s or whatever, like, we're taught, okay, you put out a record and you hit the road. You hit the road as hard as you can, as hard as you're able to, for as long as you can, you know. I mean, obviously to promote your new music, but also just to make ends meet. So it's going to be weird. I mean, there's no way April 16th we're going to be playing shows by then. So, you know, is there a plan? Are you guys going to try to do some live stream stuff? Has there been any talks of that?
Well, we've talked about the live stream. We know a lot of people who've done it. You know, I appeared on the Black Dolly Murders Christmas live stream.
Oh, sick.
In case you saw that.
I didn't see that. No, I love those guys.
Well, trust me, when you see it, it's not me how most people see me, you know. It was a little skit. It was a skit, you know.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. It was fun. I shot it here. My wife shot it on my phone. Right here in the house. So, you know, my Christmas tree in the background and everything. So, go check it out. It's funny. It's, I did like a infomercial for, a product called ham sanitizer, not ham sanitizer.
Right.
So check it out. It was funny. It was fun to do. You know, at first I was just like, oh man, this is going to be crazy. But you know, knowing those guys, it fits in with their thing and whatever. But with going to the live stream, we talked about it, and then, you know, we were recording the record, you know, last year and whatnot, and then this year, and then it was like, well, if we're going to put the new album out, and then, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll just see what the future holds. We've been tossing it around, but I mean, if we're going to do one, I think, you know, we're anticipating, hopefully, you know, being able to go back out next year. You know, I mean, I don't know if we're going to try it this year, just because there's going to be a lot of bands going out and whatnot. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, there's things in the works that we're just kind of looking at. But basically, we did throw it around, and if we were going to do it, I think we would try to make it something special, because we are anticipating, because like I said, the year that everyone lost as far as touring goes, we weren't going to be out. So we're kind of like, you know, if things work out the way, you know, that hopefully they do, we're going to be back out sooner than we think. Yeah. And it'll then like, you know, maybe we could do a live stream somewhere down the road, even if everything goes back to normal, you know?
Yeah.
But if we did it, we would definitely, if we did it, and especially if we were back touring, number one, we would want to do something that was like, you know, special.
For sure.
Not just, okay, here's any other show you could go see anywhere. Because, I mean, you know, and okay, we're not going to dress up in costumes or, you know, as far as the band. We're just going to play our songs. But, and, you know, maybe we could, you know, maybe we could just do some songs that we hadn't done in a while, you know, work with the fans with it. We'll figure it out if we decide to do it. Right now, the focus is the album, obviously, and then we'll, you know, obviously everything that comes along with it. But, yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, not just, you know, not really crazy here. I'm just, you know, at home. We're all at home just doing our thing, and everyone was writing and whatnot. But just, you know, just going to the store. You know, I went to Target, of course, yesterday. You know, and everyone's got the masks on and whatnot.
All right.
It's all good. It sucks wearing them, though. You know, I don't think anybody's really happy wearing them and whatnot. But, you know, we just do what we do to keep everybody safe. It's all good. And I, you know, it's funny, too, because as we walked out of Target, I look on the ground, there's like a thing of money. I'm like, oh, you know, awesome.
Sure.
It's funny. It's also too, like, yeah. And you, I mean, I know there's probably some people like, well, what, you know, someone had the money in their hands, and man, look, I'm wearing the mask to keep everybody, but I don't know, you know, it's money. Screw you, you know?
Okay.
So anyway, I picked it up, but there was a lady in front of me, an older lady, and she was walking with her car. So I was with my wife, you know, I walked to the car, and I was like, hold on, I'll put these bags in the car in a second. I ran up to the lady, and I think I scared the living shit out of her, to be honest.
Right.
I was like, excuse me. And she was like, she looked at me, you know, because it's an elderly lady, you know, and she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, did you drop some money? Because you're the only person I see around, and, you know, and no one else is around. And I figured you might have dropped this, you know. And she looked at her wallet, and she's like, no. And then she started to look relaxed, and she's like, wow, what an honest man you are. And I was like, well, I hope the rest of the world can be this honest, I suppose. You know, I was kind of flustered with what to say, because, you know, at first she looked scared, and then she looked like, wow, you know, wow, that was a nice thing. You know, of course. Look, if I was in the line and someone dropped $20 and I saw it, I wouldn't just like put my foot on it and be like, yeah, I got this.
No way. No, me neither.
No, I would be like, yo, dude, you dropped $20. Now, if I was walking the street and there's nobody around and there's a bag with a $10 billion in it, well, sorry, I'm going home immediately. I mean, no one's around, you know. I mean,
sure.
You know, well, I'll be okay. Maybe $10 billion. And somebody's going to miss that, and they might come look at, what's that movie where somebody finds that money or whatever.
Oh, yeah, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, I think that's it, right? They find the drug money or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so anyway, like, you know, I just going back to the whole thing with the masks and all, you know, be out and be responsible. And I mean, who knows if we come back, if bands are able to tour again. I know there's some bands that are actually, there's some plans for things to go back to normal. And I think they're probably just waiting for guidelines and whatnot.
I don't know.
I mean, just imagine the pit. I mean, it would look so weird watching a pit with people in masks, because it's like, you know, you always got those dudes in the pit who are just like, dude, don't come near me. He's just got no shirt on.
Yep.
You know, even if you're ripped, if you're bigger, you know, if you're fat, dude, you know what I mean? Like me, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be taking my shirt off anyway. But then the dude rubs up against you and you're like, ah, and in this day and age, you're like, ah, even more.
Right.
Even if you got a mask on, it's like, hey, I got a mask on, don't worry about it. But your whole stomach just, I fall on the ground and you follow me and your whole stomach just wipes across my face.
I know.
So it's going to be different unless all these vaccines are rolled out and everything goes to normal. And all these variations of the thing don't, you know, attack us and whatnot. And we can just get back to just, you know, sweating on each other's heads. You know what I mean? Like usual, you know, like imagine a dude headbanging, pour some water on his head. He starts headbanging. His water's going everywhere. In this day and age now, people are going, oh, where before no one would care. You wouldn't think like, yeah, headbanging in my mouth. I like it.
It's true. No, you know? I mean, even when it's gone, though, I think people are going to be way more conscious of just germs and
general hygiene.
Yeah, like I never thought about it before, and now like it's even happens when I'm watching like an older movie or TV show, and the characters are just like talking normally or interacting normally.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about it, like I'm like, oh, they're not wearing masks, they're not socially distancing, and I'm like, the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, you know, we're so used to it.
It's so weird.
Look, I'm not going to try to be a conspiracy theorist, but maybe I guess I am. It just makes you think, like, you know, like how much are they willing to tolerate? Well, now you got it. So it's so in your mind, like, you know, you're watching Rambo and he's like shooting all these motherfuckers, you know, and running around sweating. And you're like, bro, wash your hands, you know.
I know.
Never mind that he's shooting people with the gun. It don't matter. You know, you're going to see the gun. You ain't going to be like seeing the gun go and be like, check that out. No, you ain't going to check it out. But, you know, you watch all these movies and people are just sitting in a restaurant talking and bullshitting, you know, like Goodfellas, you know, they're all there. Like, right. You know, hey, you know, how the fuck am I funny? Because you're not wearing a mask, dude. What? You know, I mean, just, you know, like, yeah, I seriously, like old shows, it's normal now. It's normalized. And that is, I'm just telling you, I'm all for everybody being safe. I have my thoughts about, you know, I'm not going to try to say it's a conspiracy. People are dying, you know, those are facts. People get it. My wife has had friends that got it.
Yeah.
I had a friend who had it,
yeah.
You know, I know people in the music scene that had it, and it's real. So, I mean, but is it, I mean, it's deadly. Dude, it's like, you know, some people are allergic to peanut butter, some people aren't. I mean, is it that, or is it that much more deadly? I'm not spreading false information because I'm not a doctor, but it's just, when I just go back and I think about it, and then I think about the masks and just like that we're, it's just easy to fall into the conspiracy hole, you know, where you go and see, they're just testing you. Now we're dreaming about people in masks. Now we're watching old movies and thinking, oh man, there's no masks on. What's wrong with these people? They're idiots. It's normal now. And I mean, I just think the real thing is, no one wants it to be normal. We just want to go back to what really is normal. Just talking to our friend, and we're not worried about how far away he is from us, if he spit on us. And I don't care what, if, you know, you have a friend and they're talking and a little, you know, especially in a bar, a little spittle hits you.
Sure.
You're going to be like, oh, you're going to just grab your hit. I guarantee you, every person, no matter what happens with all this, everyone's going to get a hand sanitizer and bring it with them. If they already haven't, they're definitely going to do it. Look, we have hand sanitizer on the bus, and I can guarantee you this. We love our fans as much as any band does. But every time we come in, you know, of course, we're all, you know, doing hand sanitizer. And, you know, matter of fact, years ago, I missed a show in Pittsburgh because I had a viral infection in my lung. And I played all the shows except for the night that I went to the hospital. The day that I went to the hospital, they told me, when you go back, because they just thought I was some person who came in. And they're like, listen, come back tomorrow. I was like, no, I'm on tour, man. I'm in a band. And they're like, oh. And so they gave me medicine and whatnot, and we played in Philly the next day. But that night they told me, listen, you can't, you know, if you go, and this is back when smoking was still allowed in some clubs. And that Pittsburgh show, I guess they were smoking in the club.
Yeah.
Now nowadays I would be like, no, I'm not playing. You tell them, these people, to stop smoking,
because
I'm not having it. I never smoked a cigarette in my life. I'm better than anybody else. But anyway, I had a viral infection, and they just told me you could have just shook somebody's hand. You know, this is like 2004, just before my first daughter was born.
Right.
You know, and so they told me, don't play the show or you're coming right back here. Guarantee it. But after that, you get the medicine, pain tolerance, it's up to you. And I played in Philly, and I tell you, I wished I didn't. I mean, it was a great show. But I was only going to play five songs and leave, and I was just bent over because I could barely breathe because it was my lungs, you know?
Yeah.
Every breath, felt like someone just grabbed it and said, no, no more. You don't get any more. You only got this little box here. So I got that then, and that's way before this. And obviously, you know, thankfully, it did not kill me.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the hospital, which I would never go. I'm a stubborn son of a bitch, I promise you right now. Oh, yeah, man. Well, I told our sound man, I said, yo, he goes, do you want me to have a runner take you to the hospital? And I was like, dude, I think I need to go. And he's like, really? Are you going to go? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, he's like, dude, I know you are in pain if you're going to go, because I'm stubborn. I will go through a lot of shit. We have all played like really sick and whatnot. I know I'm going on a tangent here, but the whole thing is, you know, just really going back to it. I got that infection and I got it, you know, and then I'm not saying that this is, you know, I guess I am comparing it to that, but I'm just trying to, you know, correlate it to, look, with this, anybody can get it. And obviously it's contagious And just, you know, it's just, it's going to be different when we go back. People are going to be cautious. People might not be. I think some people are just like, whatever, I'm old enough. If I go, I go. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of callous if you're not thinking of other people. But if you're just like, hey, I'm just thinking of me, I'll be, you know, like people wear masks in the store. Just do it for other people. You know what I mean? Just it's everybody's mind. Well, you know, I'm not going to go up and scream at people. You know, I'm not going to, because I just feel like if I got one on, well, I'm doing everything I can for me to not get it. And the wife and whatnot and my kids, you know. For sure.
I mean,
it's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you're in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm up in Canada and we have we're full lockdown right up here. You know, when our numbers aren't even bad, but we wear masks everywhere and we have pretty much the whole time, and all the stores are closed except for Walmart, pharmacies, grocery stores. That's it. And honestly, man, I've just gotten used to it at this point. I don't even notice the mask on my face. Honestly, it's just, you know, it is what it is. And I just hope if we keep wearing them, maybe we can tour again. And that's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you now, if they tell us we got to play a show with a mask, it's just never going to work.
No, fuck no.
Listen, here's another thing. I'm not trying to politicize this at all, you know, but you got these people, there are people who are being able to work and there are people who are not being able to work, you know, and obviously there are essential people who are, you know, providing things for people, you know, obviously, you know, first responders and all that and whatnot, you know, in the hospitals and everything, you know, and they're out, you know, putting their lives on the line, you know, and every day just for other things, not just, you know, this COVID thing, and the people not, and the doctors and the nurses and whatnot in the hospitals. We're just a band. So, you know, I know that they were saying that bands aren't non-essential, but Hollywood is, you know,
right.
Hollywood, you know, Hollywood who needs all the money in the world. I mean, I'm not trying to rag Hollywood people up because come on, but you know, I saw this thing where this lady couldn't open her restaurant, and she showed, you know, on her phone or somebody filming it, you know, how she had set everything up for social distancing and whatnot. This was in California, which that guy's crazy anyway, but the governor. But and then they showed a movie company right there, right by in the same parking lot, and their catering set up.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I know that they're gonna, you know, have testing and all that, and they're gonna go through all the stuff, but still, okay, well, why can't, you know, she can do that for her employees and whatnot, and you know, but no, she's going to lose her business because it's a double standard, man. You know,
yeah.
And I hate it. And I want to make sure that everyone comes to our show and is safe. But you know, I got to say, when it comes to say bands like us, you know, any pretty much metal band, if you headbang, it's on you. If you headbang and you think you're going to be me, and I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but you're not. Okay, let's just call what it is. If you think you're going to out headbang me, I've said it many times on stage, it ain't happening. But if you do that and you hurt yourself, that's not my fault, you know? I mean, I will say, you know, people slamming, no one being hurt, you know, but I've been in pits, you know, I grew up in street music and we've gotten hurt. Now, that's not saying that we don't want people to, you know, like what I'm just trying to say is we can't be on stage wearing masks, and it's just not feasible for people to be in the pit wearing masks. They're just never going to stay on. You know, you're going to have to put a cage, you know, like a chastity belt, you know, over your head. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to need air tanks because you can't be able to breathe. You're going to suffocate yourself, and then you can slam into other people, and then you got to wear a whole hazmat suit, you know,
right,
because you don't want to sweat on anybody.
Right.
It's crazy, man. And again, we're entertainment, and you know, the movie stars and all that stuff, they're entertainment, but they're all filming stuff now, and they're all basically, to me, now this is not with exact, you know, with knowledge of the laws and all that stuff, so maybe I'm talking out my ass, but I'm going to assume that they're going through all the precautions. But what makes that any different than anybody in a restaurant going through the precautions, except for the fact that obviously they're all going to be working with the same people every day, you know, and they're going to be tested and whatnot. And you know, you're going to have different people coming into restaurants, but people are going to have to interact sometime anyway, you know? Yeah. And if someone's delivering something to the movie set and they're not part of the, a part of the whole thing, you know, if you're going to keep it all internalized and you're going to prove that, and I guess, you know, and then you have, you know, that's maybe the only thing they could say, but you know, you can't always do that. So these people are allowed to, these people are allowed to be opened up and you know, making money and whatnot. Everybody else should be. There's people losing their livelihoods over this stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, let's shift gears here a little bit. I don't get to talk to you every day, so I'm excited to ask you about some of your takes, and especially let's start with the new record. I mean, Violence Unimagined, it's out April 16th, your 15th record. One thing that I've always appreciated about your band is that you've never done anything real weird. You've never done anything to alienate your fan base. You've never...
No experimentation.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, you play faster than ever. You tune lower than ever. You know, you never tried to put any clean vocals or anything in there. You know what I mean? You've done what you do, and you've done it at the top of your game every single time. So going into a record like this, I mean, what's the conversation? Like, let's just make more bangers? Like,
pretty much.
I just wonder how you kind of go into that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the guys who are writing the music, but I think we all have the general thought process of we're a death metal band. So we're not, you know, to us, death metal is a certain way. Do we sound like we sounded like on Eaten Back to Life? Do we sound like we sounded like on Vile? No.
Right.
We don't. The band has evolved as far as like how, you know, are we playing our instruments, you know, the vocals, you know, if you listen to Vile, as opposed to say like Gore Obsess, as opposed to say Evisceration Plague, yeah. You know, they're still death metal, but there's some differences, and I know them. I can hear it, obviously, just, you know, I've lived with this goddamn voice for, you know, my whole life. I've had to live with this guy forever, but no, you know, we're a death metal band, and there's not really, we have a certain way of doing things, and I think every record, you know, we don't want to rehash songs, riffs, you know, things like that. We want to stick to the same subject matter because, for one, we're not going into politics, and two, we're not going to go into religion. And, you know, horror movies has been our thing, yeah. Not really any particular horror movie. We just create our own horror movies and put them into a little song, you know, into a, you know, a small space. You know, we try to, you know, We got brutal music and we want brutal lyrics. They're not, you know, obviously, like, people look at the album cover and go, "You have kids, that's terrible." If you look at the uncensored cover, well, guess what? I'm not a maniac, and I love life, and I love my children, and I love my wife, and, you know, I love the guys in the band, and I love everybody, and we're not hateful like that. And that album cover is just a brutal album cover. Our music is fast and pummeling, and when we saw it, we were like, holy shit. And we had our ideas that we, you know, gave to Vince, like, hey, maybe do this, put it there, do that, you know. And when we saw it, we were starting to think, well, in this day and age, people are, I mean, we're kind of, course, you listen to you look at our catalog, you know, our songs, people are going to be mad. But we're not trying to build the new rocket. We're not trying to, you know, beat out iPhones, you know, we're not trying to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe for sure. we could be considered for modern death metal, you know, like one of the iPhones, or if not the iPhone, you know, like this, you know, we came on the scene and whatnot, you know, but now we're just tweaking it, you know. It's like iPhone 12 has new features. Okay. iPhone 12 has new features. iPhone 12X will have new features. iPhone 13 or 14 or 27 will have new features, but it's not probably going to make or break, you know, what the iPhone is. And that's kind of, maybe that's a bad analogy. I don't know.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, when you came into the band, I mean, I'd say that was a very big upgrade.
When I came into the band, you know, and I also think, you know, we started to get, you know, more technical, you know, as far as like getting older, you know, everyone's getting older and playing their instruments better and pushing themselves harder as far as that. I mean, I wouldn't say we're like a tech band, but we have some stuff
for sure.
You know, to knock your socks off. You know what I mean? If you're just picking up a guitar and going, I'll play that riff. You know, we have some songs that you probably could do that. We have some songs that there's no fucking way you could do that.
Yeah.
We're not, we're just not, look, we're not, we're just not trying to reinvent the wheel.
No.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, downplay the songs that everybody wrote, obviously.
Well, when you,
but we have a general idea of what we want. We want it to be brutal. We want it to be heavy. Mm-hmm. If it's a slower song, we want it to crush your fucking skull. If it's a faster song, we want it to hit you and drag you for 20 miles, you know?
There you go.
Until you drop off dead.
I mean, that's what I love about your band. I mean, I think it was the record Bloodthirst that was, I think, your third record you did. And that, to me, was the game-changing record. When I heard Pattern Into Dust, I was like, holy shit. I don't know if it was a combination of the vocals that you brought in with the, you know, like doing the high shit as well as the low shit and just the tuning, because you guys started tuning your guitars lower or playing seven strings and all that. But that record, to me, was the biggest game changer. It's still probably my favorite Cannibal record.
It's one of mine for the vocals, for sure. I mean, I was going crazy on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know, it makes, when I listen to it, I kind of get depressed, like, man, you need to start doing, because I was doing high stuff all over the place on that, Gore Obsessed.
Yeah.
I was going out of my mind, you know, and I probably toned that back some. And at that time, too, I was doing, like, the really long, long screams.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, I was getting some severe headaches after that because I was trying to hold them out for so long that no oxygen was going to my brain. And I'm just too tard-headed and stupid to realize that. You know, I'd just be like, 15 seconds. Rah!
Right.
And then next thing you know, I'm like, oh, as soon as it was over. So I probably dialed them back some from that. I don't know, because when I listened to Kill,
yep.
You know, the first song. You know, dun 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 dun.
Sure.
It's a fucking scream, but it's not as crazy as the other ones as far as the length and whatnot. But yeah, definitely Bloodthirst. Bloodthirst is one of, you know, my favorite ones. But this one too, though, this one's got a lot of stuff where, sweet. You know, where there's, you know, I mean, obviously the world has yet to hear the whole thing, but
yep.
I don't know. I just going back to what you're saying is, you know, the original question of just, we're not, like I said, we're comfortable doing what we've been doing. And if people just think, well, they just do the same thing and it's boring and whatever. Well, it's not for everybody, but you know, at the same time, you will never win, because if we would do a song where I was just like, yeah, and did some like video game noise or did some acoustic part, and right. All of a sudden I was singing some clean vocals, people would be like, what the fuck is this? You know?
For sure.
We do what we do, and we are going to be that band that just did not sell out. You know, we're going to play what we play. It's death metal. It's brutal. It's fast. I'm not singing. It's that simple. I mean, you know, I've done other albums I've done a bunch of other albums with other people, and it's pretty much the same thing. You know, I did the Paths of Possession records, and mm-hmm. I probably was screaming more on those than any record I did, even Bloodthirst and whatnot, you know, yeah. But there's no real variation because, I mean, really, look, I'm just a hack. I'm just a death metal singer. It's all I do. Growl, 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 scream. Growl, growl, scream. You know, if people love it, that's great. But I'm not trying to, like I said, I'm not trying to be the you know, next greatest, you know, vocal wizard. You know, I'm not trying to be the next Freddie Mercury.
No.
Because I can't sing. I don't sing. Maybe if you want to compare that to death metal, that's fine. If people want to put me in a category, you know, that's up to them. It's not up to me. I do what I do. I'm really happy with it. We do what we do. We're really happy with it. And I know that people can look back, if they're fans of the band, definitely they will say, these guys, maybe they don't like one record as much as the other. You know, that's all, you know, up to them. But they can at least say they didn't sell out. They didn't try to be like commercial. We didn't try to get on the radio.
No.
And if we did, it would be by doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
If for some reason Inhumane Harvest was all over the radio and they played it all day and night, it would be because of the song that it is. It wouldn't be because we changed the lyrics and I redid a new vocal track so it was about babies and flowers. It wouldn't be because, you know, we tuned the guitars up and re-recorded them, and there was no real fast parts, and Paul just played a skank beat instead of, you know, yeah. or a swing beat instead of
right,
a blast.
Right. So sure.
It's not going to be because of that. It's going to be because the song is what it is. It's how we recorded it, and that's how it's, and that's how it goes. If people don't like it, you know, it's up to you. Go listen to somebody else, and you know what? Have a good time. Hopefully you do like it. But again, if you don't, then you aren't going to like other stuff, and you're not going to like whatever album we come up with next, whatever that would be, you know.
Yep.
You just go listen to somebody else. I mean, more power to you.
There you go.
To each his own.
Well, you know, you talked about This Day and Age and the lyrics that the song titles and stuff that you say people make people mad. And, you know, you inherited most of those, right? I mean, you came in the band and it was like, well, I've got to be the guy now. I got to be singing, you know, Fucked with a Knife and like
I Come Blood.
I Come Blood. And I mean, worse ones than we're even saying, you know, like.
Isn't that crazy?
Right? Like, I mean, back in 95, fuck, when I heard those records or whenever it was, like, I didn't feel conflicted about it at all. I was like, this is heavy. This is like dark. This is no different than a horror movie kind of, and just, it's just extreme. And I know it's not real or whatever. And now I don't want to say, like, I don't want to even say these titles out loud. Right. And maybe it's because I'm 40 now or whatever, but the world has changed. And here you are, you know, like you're grandfathered in a way, you know, that you did all this before when it was like, okay, but you know, you guys have changed too alongside with it, and you've matured lyrically. I mean, it's still brutal and there's still really graphic lyrics, but
yeah.
In terms of some of the gender stuff and, you know, that kind of violence, you have changed, which I think is progression, right?
I suppose. I mean, listen, we've always said everybody has gotten dealt with in our songs. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, if you go back to Vile, Orgasm Through Torture, that's women. She bites the dude's dick off. I mean, she rips my cock off with her teeth. I mean, you know, that's, she, you know, we're not just picking on women. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, and again, I can't speak to the lyrics for The Bleeding and Back. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's, you know, Barnes wrote that stuff and whatnot. And we still do those songs and people like the songs. And, you know, I get it. Trust me. There were some, I think, issues prior to me getting in a band, but they kind of bled over into when I was in a band with, you know, stripped, raped, and strangled and whatnot. And it's like, you're promoting rape. And it's like, really? Now, especially nowadays, really? Really? I have a wife. I have two daughters, you know. It's a song. Okay. Now, again, I didn't write those lyrics. I can't, you know, say what the motivation for the lyrics were. But they're what they are, and we've maintained basically a horror movie. It's a horror movie thing.
Yep.
There are movies. There are books that have rape in them. If you're going to cancel us, then you need to go back. You know, and then that seems to be the problem too. Is that's what everyone wants to do, is go back and just find everything that's wrong, and then they can sit in their house, and you know, then they're going to start picking everything in their house. Oh, there's a spot on the floor. Well, got to get that. Oh, well, that thing's in the corner there, and it's a little messy, you know, and it's just an umbrella. Well, we got to put that away. We can't see that, you know. They're going to start nitpicking everything, you know. And guess what? If people want to, in this cancel culture era, you know, in this era where everyone's kind of, you know, bitching about everything, if they'll get to us eventually, you know, and it'll just be like, we'll probably be like, or I will be, I guarantee you, because I don't play no mess with that crap, but I'll be like, what took you so long, dude? You know, we're up on the mountain, you know what I mean, of like bad things, you know, we're somewhere along the way, you know, and someone gets over the top and goes, you're bad, you're canceled. What took you so long? I mean, we've been sitting here, you know, we don't, and I'm not trying to get into politics or nothing, but there are people who just look around for things to bitch about. And if they're going to bitch about us, come bitch about us. I mean, I can't stop that. I just would say, before you do, we're just a band. This is art. It's about horror movies, not about any particular horror movies. We are not promoting that, because if you want to say that we're promoting that, then you got to start looking at any movie that has it in it. And, you know, you look at the movie Seven, where they make the guy wear the codpiece and fuck the prostitute with it.
Right.
I mean, you know, now I can't remember the year Seven came out, But I would say that maybe these, some of the,
they're at 95.
Yeah, exactly. That's around the, that's the bleeding. I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone happened to see that song title and use that somehow in, you know, with knowledge from us. But does that mean that we, you know, okay, I guess, you know, I mean, I, dude, it's fucked with a knife. I mean, it is.
Right.
It's what it is. And it's sadistic and it's brutal, but, you know, no one's going to go say, can't solve seven. You know, now I'm not saying that they're saying that about us right now, but I mean, if you're going to come after us, let me tell you right now, there are a lot of bands who are not at our stature as far as popularity. They're going to go after them as soon as they're done with the, with, you know, with the top dogs. Trust me.
Well, we'll see about that. I mean, you're aware of it. You know, you're aware of it. And
if you want to come, you know what I mean? Then it's whatever. I'm not trying to say, I'm just not backing down from what I've always said. We don't sing about religion. We don't sing about politics. They're horror movies, basically. They're extremely brutal. Some of them could be taken the wrong way by anyone who would be out to get us. But mostly I would say they probably do it because they just didn't like the music. And then they would think about the subject matter. And then they would think that it was, you know, us trying to promote something, which makes no sense. It's like kind of like when people would say, well, you're singing about murder and violence. And okay, yeah, because we want everyone that's our fan to kill someone so that they go to jail and don't come to our shows and buy our shirts. Hey, world, or hey, crazy world, whoever is, you know, Bob Dole, who's putting our records, you know, on CNN.
Right.
Hey, Bob Dole. Guess what? People do differentiate between fantasy and reality. And you cannot police people's thoughts. Even if someone just envisioned themselves forcing themselves on a woman and just was like, oh, that's fucked up. You can't be in their head to say, oh, you got to go to jail. You thought about it. No. So get out of here. You know what I mean? Right. You can't police anybody for their thought. You know what I mean? And you can't police us. You know, thinking that someone's going to think that, and we're pushing it, and that therefore it's going to happen. We did not invent rape. We did not invent murder. We did not invent blood and guts. We didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Go bitch at Mother Nature.
I get you.
See if she gets back to you.
Well, on a lighter note, can we talk about Metalocalypse real quick and Nathan Explosion?
Sure.
Character based around you. What was your, what, when that first came across your desk, let's say, what were your thoughts? Obviously, that was a big show, very funny and mainstream. And was there any kind of resurgence? Like, did you saw that after people saw that and started saying, like, because I thought it was, I heard it was your voice actually originally. As
well, I did
Explosion.
Voices for the show.
Yeah, no, I know, but I was told that you were that character.
Yeah, so, everybody thought that was me. Right. Oh, I mean, I wish I was. Right.
Sure, but I mean, obviously, like, that put a lot of eyeballs on you at a kind of a time when I don't want to say death metal was dying, because that's never happened, but, you know, emo music and all that kind of shit was coming more into the mainstream, right? And then here you are.
That's the music world, you know. Death metal really, really in the early 90s, before I was in Cannibal, I was in Monstrosity. Yep. You know, you had Morbid Angel on MTV, and you know, people were talking, you know, about death and, you know, the band Death, that is, and whatnot, and, you know, Obituary and all, and Deicide and all the bands, and it was getting really popular. And then, you know, just every kid who was in a band, whether it was a thrash band, there's a lot of thrash bands that were like, oh, we're getting into death metal. And then a lot of those kids started death metal bands. And then a lot of kids who were getting into death metal, then all of a sudden, you know, they heard Dark Funeral and Marduk, you know, and Mayhem and you know, Mortal and all these bands. And they were like, oh, well, you know, we're going to put on the paint and be black metal. You know what I mean? So, and then of course, you know, when that's oversaturated, people are going to go to something else. And then it all kind of probably rewinds and settles down. Yeah. Death metal, people say death metal's dead, whatever. You know what? The people that say that are like, you know, I haven't listened to it in a lot of years, but death metal's dead. That's why you think it, you idiot, you know? I mean, because you just made the statement yourself. I don't listen to it now, but it's dead. How would you know? What bands have you listened to? If you don't listen to it, how can you tell me it's dead? Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we still had people at our shows, and of course, we're one of the bigger bands in death metal, you know? But that's the other thing, you know? So anyway, when that whole thing was happening, and then of course Metal Alchemist came out, and then I mean, look, when I went and did the first set of vocals, because I did like three, I did the you know, the opera thing, that, you know, the last thing that they had done, yeah. You know, I actually sang basically for that one. But when I first did the first round of recording for them, I went to California and I went to the Titmouse Studios and whatnot. I met Mark Hamill, you know, which was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Fuck yeah. I mean, it was great. I got pictures. I've got a bunch of old pictures and I'm going to start really trying to push, posting a lot more stuff on my Instagram. And
yeah.
I got a bunch of old pictures. Yeah, I got a picture from when I was probably like 18 or something that's people are going to be like, holy shit. So anyway, I'm going to post it somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I went out there, you know, I met him and whatnot. And I got pictures of that, and he was really cool. And I got to watch him do some of his voiceovers and stuff there, and you know, it was fucking amazing. And you know, at that time, the it hadn't really become what it became. You know, I mean, it had the initial boom hit, and then it was getting bigger. You know, and it was just getting bigger so fast. So when I got out there, it was like I remember that you know Brian Segel from Metal Blade had said, hey man, there's this cartoon or whatever. And then we were doing, I believe we were doing Sounds of the Underground in 2004. I think it was 2004.
Sounds about right.
Don't quote me on that. We were doing Sounds of the Underground, and that's when I met Brendan. And he's like, hey, I got this show. And I was like, oh man, we heard about that, you know? And I think they'd either put out the first episode or were going to. And then he told me that, you know, James and Kirk from Metallica had done some stuff for it. And, you know, he wanted to know if I'd be interested. I was like, hell yeah. So we exchanged information. And then next thing you know, I flew out there and they showed me the cubicle where everyone was working on Nathan. And it was all pictures of me and like Conan the Barbarian.
Which so cool.
I was honored. Listen, first things first. They had pictures of me headbanging next to like Arnold and Conan, and then Conan from the comic books. You know what I mean? And I was like, let me tell you right now, just to be mentioned in the same breath with Arnold and with Conan the Barbarian. I grew up reading the Conan the Barbarian comic books. It was like, wow, holy shit, you know? And obviously when I saw it, I was like, I'll sue him. No, I was not like that. But no, I mean, I was like, hey, you know, obviously it did not hurt us because people started just saying, okay, who is Metalocalypse? Who are they, you know, who are the inspirations for?
Right.
And no one ever said anybody but me for Nathan Explosion. And it was an honor, man. I mean, you know, and I mean, of course I would have loved if I did the voice, but you know, hey, it's not the biggest part about it. The biggest part about it is just that I got to do the cartoon. I got to meet Brendan and Tommy. So I got cool. to meet Mark Hamill. You know, I got to be on Cartoon Network, which, you know, by the way, some people don't know, I don't think. We did, if you ever heard of the show Squidbillies?
No, I haven't.
It's a show. It's another cartoon on Adult Swim.
Okay.
Years ago, we did the theme song for it.
Oh, wow, know? Cool. It's awesome.
a real quick 40 seconds or something, and, you know, we real quick recorded it, you know, at Rutan's and then we did it, you know, it was for the Halloween special, Squidbillies Halloween, and we did the theme song for it. So either way, look, Metalocalypse, it was great. It was, hopefully it's going to come back, you know. I know they killed off the assassin, who was me, you know. but there's always, never know, maybe they could, you know, they could find something else for me if they wanted. If not, it's still
sure.
cool.
Sure.
I would still watch it, you know. I mean, and it definitely did help us. There's
yeah.
no doubt about that.
Yep.
It helped us. It helped a lot of bands. I mean, you're talking about a cartoon that's, you know, that obviously people who aren't just metalheads are going to watch it and be like, you know, hey. You know, you watch a lot of cartoons, just even if you're an artist, you know,
yeah.
And you're checking out new art, you know, new cartoons on. You want to check out the art style. And yeah, you know, so yeah.
Well, not to mention like the music was actually really good.
Well,
like Brendan is a talented guy. Yeah. Like that Death Clock stuff.
Brendan
was
is definitely
awesome.
Legit, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Forget about it. You know, and of course he's got Gene Hoagland playing with him, you know, come on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, and everybody else in the band is, and I saw them play here in Tampa. St. Petersburg.
Yeah,
I went, you know, saw Metalocalypse, and it was awesome. You know, it was great. It was a great show. They had, you know, all the excerpts of the cartoon and whatnot, and everything. And you know, they referenced at least one of our songs, and I you, Brendan, probably hear this and go, "You dick, it's more than that." But Broaded Body Landslide, that's in one of their episodes.
Oh yeah,
where they go shopping at the grocery store. Nathan Fillion goes, "Clean up on aisle 7, Broaded Body Landslide," you know, and it's like. And it was like, dude, that's one of our fucking songs, you know?
Right, so, right. No, there was, I feel like there was tons of stuff like that, like in the background, you know, would well, be yeah, like a skull full of maggots or something, you know, like that yeah, kind of
but
stuff.
But they also had Dimmu Burger.
Right, Dimmu Burger, that's the one, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, one of the other famous things that I did, like for that, was that was at Dimmu Burger, was with the kid that orders from Nathan Explosion. Hey, fuckface, that's me, you know? Yeah. And it's funny because, and I didn't, I've since met him, but I didn't get to meet him for this because I wasn't there when he did his stuff. But in that skit, in that scene, it's me as this little punk-ass kid, you know, giving Nathan Explosion a hard time. And by the way, I will say the hey, fuckface. I was like, hey, can I cuss? And I came up with hey, fuckface.
Nice.
Like, give him some New York, you know, attitude or whatever. You know, something. And I was like, oh, I'm from Baltimore. You know, I definitely got the Northeast. I got the Northeast tude. And I was just like, hey, fuckface. And like, oh, that's perfect. So anyway, when Nathan Explosion, you know, is getting all flustered and the manager comes over to him, yeah, that's King Diamond. And I was like, wow. Awesome. I technically did something with King Diamond, you know, like, I mean, I've since met him and he was great twice and he was amazing. And he is, to me, I'm just telling you, this is my personal opinion. Yeah. And you know, he is my favorite heavy metal singer ever. I just, his voice is incredible.
Awesome.
When he sings clean, it's just amazing. I Don't Break the Oath, Merciful Fate is my favorite album. You know, so it was just an honor. Like, wow, man, I'm in the scene with King Diamond. Like, I mean, you know, I didn't give a, you know, I mean, I of course gave a flying shit about the show and whatnot, but that's what meant so much to me is when I was doing it, you know, and yeah. I didn't know that yeah. when I was doing that part. I didn't know that I maybe they told me, I can't remember, but then when I saw it, I was like, that's King Diamond, you know, so amazing. Metalocalypse, definitely. I love those guys. I thank them. Right now on this show, you know, thank you guys, you know, Brendan and Tommy for having me on this show. I mean, it really helped us out. It really helped to get, say, my name out and the band's name out. And then they referenced us so many times and just, you know, just made a great cartoon, made great music, wrote funny skits and definitely helped metal in general and extreme metal for sure.
For sure. 100%. No, I love that show. Cool, man. Well, I won't take too much more of your time. You know, you mentioned Eric Rutan in the band now. Guy is an actual legend. I mean, I know the whole situation with Pat. I don't know if you want to talk about that or not. It was obviously pretty intense, but having Eric in the band is pretty awesome. I know he's produced a lot of stuff for you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've done like, let me think about this real quick. So let's say Kill, right?
Yep.
Evisceration, Torture, and then Red Before Black. I did the two Paths of Possession records with Eric, and now Violence, you know, 7. Yep. And I've done, I did the Metalocalypse stuff. Not the first set of things I did when I went out to California, but after that, I did all the Metalocalypse stuff at Rutan's. I did the stuff for Igor at Rutan Studio. I did another thing at Rutan's, more than a couple guest spots. The Deeds of Flesh I did at Rutan's. I've done, you know, the Jostis song that I did, I didn't do there because I think he was on tour. But, you know, there's some other stuff, you know, that I've done that is not released yet that, you know, I've done there. So I've done, I think, almost 8 records with him, like, or maybe something like that, you know, awesome. Close to it, plus yeah. all the side stuff. So, you know, and obviously he did the shows with us. And I mean, you know, let me tell you right now, I mean, just talking from the standpoint of a friend, and, you know, having worked with him for all these records, I can tell you right now, Torture record, was really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard on me. Like just singing wise, there's just sometimes if I don't get to practice as much, man, and then we try to go and sing 4 songs in a day, you know, 12 hours. Like, you know, that I'm not 25 anymore. And then that's just too much wear and tear on the voice. And if we're, you know, and so I've had some times where I've just, there's one time, I believe it was on Torture Record, where, you know, I'm in the booth and he's outside and I just got down on my knees, just like, I'm done. I should just, you know, leave. Because I was just so frustrated.
Yeah.
And he will not, and as my friend, he came in the booth, he's like, hey man, you know, look, you know, and he just said all the things that, you know, you would think a friend would say when you're down and when you're doubting yourself. And I can tell you right now, he's like, and I was like, yeah, and you know, I was just listening to him and I just felt better and better. And then I just got up and he goes, now get the fucking work. Now get the fucking work. Come on, we've got a record to do. Come on, you know. And Rutan, when he wants to get like, yo, come on. You watch him watch football, man. He's like, yo, come on.
Right.
You know, and he's like, let's go, you know. Come on, you know. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And, you know, we got it done, you know. But, you know, I mean, he just came in the booth and he was just, you know, being my friend. Just like, look, man, you are who you are because, you know, you're just having a rough time. And it happens to everyone. And he just said everything that I think I wanted to hear, but he also told me things that I needed to hear that I was not believing anymore. And, you know, that's your friend, you know. And then on top of that, just working with him, just, you know, when everything's going great. You know, because let me tell you right now, the true measure of like a leader, of a person who, you know, a good friend, is not how well they deal with you when you're all drinking beers and laughing about the shit you did and the shows you played and, you know, this happened and that happened. It's when you're sitting on the side of the road and the fucking bus broke down and the air's, you know, obviously off and it's fucking 95 degrees out and everyone's tired because he got woken up in the, you know, and shit like this is kind of has happened, you know,
for sure.
And that's when the leaders are just like, look, you know, we're all tired, but, you know, blah, blah. The leaders lead in the bad times. And that's the definition to me. It's not, everybody can be happy when you're winning. Everybody can be like, yeah, we're winning. It's number one.
Yep.
But when you're not, that's when the people that are just going to, you know, going to take you to the top are going to be like, listen, this does not beat us. You know, and I'm telling you, he's like that. And, you know, and again, we have all the fun in the world. I mean, trust me, we waste a lot of fucking time. Well, I do, really, because if you can tell, I talk too much. And there's times when he's like, come on, man, we got to sing this line. And I'm just like, all right.
I know.
He'll hit play and I'll just do like a high, like Tom Mariah scream. And he'll be like, oh my God. He's like, he'll laugh and we'll laugh so hard. He's like, all right, we just wasted 10 more minutes doing that. You know, we cut it up so much in the fucking, in the studio. I mean, you know, with him being in the band, you know, and then of course, you know, we toured together because we toured with Hate Eternal, you know, a few times. And we've recorded with Rutan, which is, you know, basically where we're all living together. But having him on the bus where we're actually living together every day, I mean, you know, I've seen him mad, really, really mad one time. And obviously not, it wasn't in anybody. It was just some circumstances. Because trust me, sure. I've come in the bus and I've come, went to backstage and I've kicked shit over and everyone's just sitting there looking at me like, waiting for my little baby tirade to end, you know what I mean? You know, I guess, you know, you could say like, kind of like, you know, I have the lead singer disease, you know?
That's right, lead singer syndrome, you know, there it is. Yep, you got it, you know, we all got it, baby.
So it's like, you know, it's like, I just, you know, I can smash it up and I will. And I was mad and whatnot. And then after it, they, you know, everyone just kind of let me do my thing. And then they also, because basically what happened is we were in Australia and someone drew some with a silver Sharpie on my boot. Oh. So I was banging while I was singing. Somebody drew, something like George, you know, welcome to wherever it was, or Perth or something. I can't, you know, remember what it was.
Yeah.
And I saw it. Well, I didn't see it. I turned around. We were done some songs and I turned around and I got some water. And Paul's like, dude, somebody drew in your boot. And I'm like, and I was so mad. I was like, I went on a classic tirade. I'll kill you. I'll do this. I'll punch you in the head, whatever. Things I'm never going to do. I'm just venting and I'm mad. So then after the week of the show, we went, I think it was downstairs dressing room. And I kicked stuff over and they just waited. And I think it was Alex went, but it was fucking funny. And then I laughed and I was like, all right, I'm sorry. I kicked everything and knocked some stuff over. I'm dick, you know. Right. And then we all laughed and whatever. But, you know, Rutan has that same kind of like thing. He was really mad. He was really pissed off one time. Otherwise, that dude is nothing but positive and nothing gets him down. And you know what? Listen, if it did, I would do the same thing he does for me. And you know, I tried to that time. He was just mad because he thought somebody was fucking with him or something and whatnot. But like in the studio, he's just, man, he's the Cosmo professional. He's a great friend. I've recorded with a lot of people, and there are some that I would definitely record with again. But he is, if I do anything, you know, depending on the circumstance, if it's up to me, I would work with him. You know, when we did the Serpentine Dominion, I was almost telling Adam, you know, why don't you come down here? And he was, at the time, he was willing to. But then I just figured it's just better. And trust me and Adam had a fucking blast. And then I love him too. You know, I feel like I'll get to shout out pretty much everybody, Scott Burns, you know, yeah, everyone that I've been able to record with, you know. But Rutan, man, I mean, you know, we just, you know, it was the obvious choice. After him being in the band and playing the shows,
for sure,
and seeing what he brought to the table. If you saw us with Rutan, you know, Pat had his style. Pat did his thing. You know what I mean? Pat is a great guitar player and whatnot. But Rutan is equally, Rutan is on his level easily. And I think he has more energy. You know, he's walking around the stage. He's looking at people like he's going to kill them, screaming the lyrics at them, you know, just a little savage, man. He looks savage. It was just a natural, just like, who, you know, once everything happened and whatnot with Pat and all, and, you know, I don't want to go too much into it, but sure, at least not right now, you know. Yeah. But it was obvious, you know. I mean, who, you know, Rutan's done guest vocals on our record and whatnot, and so it was just like, but it was just up to him. You know, he has Hate Eternal. He has this studio. He has a lot of things that he's doing outside of, you know, of that. So it was up to him. And we were just like, you know, if he wanted to be in the band, then, you know, that's what was going to happen. And fortunately he did, you know, and he wrote three songs, you know, on the album. So
awesome. Awesome. No, I was going to interject with the story of one time when a kid tied my shoelaces together on stage. I was pretty pissed about that. Luckily, I noticed right when, as I walked away, I didn't fall on my head and
crack my
fucking head open. But that was the same thing. Later, I looked back and I was like, "That is pretty funny," you know. Yeah, no bit. Yeah, like, damn it, let's get a barricade. People are too close.
Well, let me tell you right now. After that, you know, there has been times where, and I felt a little shitty about this, but sometimes, you know, like there's a part of me. And it just depends on the show. You know, you ever pull up to, and trust me, I mean, people probably get surprised by hearing this stuff from me because they're just like, well, you know, you're in Cannibal Corpse, you know, we're playing in amphitheaters and you know, stuff like that. And no, that's not always the case.
Well, the venue in Perth, I think you're talking about, I know. It's the one hi-fi bar or something. It's the corner stage. And then the dressing room is like downstairs by kind of by the road.
It's, you know, not like about? The di- yeah, I think it's right. Yeah, I think so, man. Yeah, I'm I can't remember, man. I was so mad. I don't remember anything.
All good. All good.
Except how mad I was, and how just I was like, you know, just I remember too, because everyone was quiet after. I was just like, motherfucker, kicking stuff, and I was just mad. I think I flipped a table over or swiped a bunch of, you know, candies and stuff off the table, and everyone just sitting there just looking at me. And, you know, then I just turned around, just like, fuck this, you know. And then now she's like, well, that's pretty funny, you know. And I was just like, then in that moment, I was like, okay, you know, you're you know, I knew how much of a moron I was, you know, and just whatnot. But, you know, look, we pulled up to some places, seriously, and it's been like, you know, speaking to people on stage and whatever, but we pulled up to some places like, this isn't going to happen. You know, this can't happen. There's no way. You know, we can't even play this place. We played this place in New Orleans called Siberia before we did Mayhem 2014. Mm-hmm. And I mean, literally, it was super hot. Brian Slagle was there as well from, you know, Order of Metal Blade. And he was like, you guys are playing this place. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't like the place was bad. It was just a small stage and it wasn't meant for being packed and people, you know, but I apparently they had our shows. And I remember, I'm pretty certain Sammy from Goat Horror was there and Ben. And, they were just like, yeah, man, sure, this is our city and this is our club, you know? And I think people were trying to go on stage. I was like, dude, we can't even fucking move here, man. You know, what are you? But sometimes you play places like that and you're just like thinking before the show, like, oh my gosh, man, let this fucking show end. This club just can't handle this. You know, we can't, people are going to be trying to dive. I'm not, and of course I get my syndrome going. And I'm like, you know, with my lead singer disease, you know, I'm just like, listen, fuck this. There's no Bear K9 playing, you know? And it's like,
right.
You know, Johnny Knobs will be like, all right, and we'll cancel. You know, well, I'll tell them right now. I'll tell all the kids that bought tickets, we'll cancel. And it's like, okay. You know, it's like the tyranny.
After I
bitch and whine, I realize, okay, but you know what? We played this place in, I think it was Flagstaff. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember it was a shop that was converted there was a bar next to it, mm-hmm. and it was a shopping center, but it was like one that was right on the road, not like one that was in with a big parking lot, you know, like with a Walmart in it and
a
bunch of other shops next to it. It was part of a shopping center just on the street. And we go in there, there's no stage. There's like an 8-track or something, I think, for the soundboard. It was just, you know, and we were sitting in the bar, and they were bringing us the rider. And on the rider, we had, you know, beer, and we had a bottle of Jaeger. And I had the bottle of Jaeger in front of me, like, are we canceling the show or what? Because if we do, I'm going for it right now. And this was like at like 1 p.m. or some shit. And, you know, Alex was just like, look, let's just try to make the show happen as, you know, if we can. No stage, but we've done that before, you know, and whatnot. And so we decided to do it. So later on that night, before we play, we're sitting in the bus and we look outside because we're parked right in front of this place. We look outside. There's a line going down the block around the corner. And all of a sudden, you just hear people going, cannibal. And then it just starts and the whole fucking line is doing it. It's so loud. You can hear in the bus, just like really loud, like, and you know, Webster said it. He looked right at me, he goes, that's why we decided not to cancel,
right?
Just remember that. That's why, you know, Webster's very wise, you know. And he was right. And that show, I mean, I was pushing kids away from me. I really, the headbanging was kind of a challenge because they can't do nothing. If there's a guardrail and you're getting smashed, you're not going to hit into anybody. But if there's no guardrail and somebody hits you, you're going flying into me. And if someone would have banged heads with me while I'm in the middle of headbanging, like head to head, you know, the first reaction is going to be cock the fist and think about it.
Well,
you might not have done it, but anyway, so I just had to like headbang with the mic in my hand and my hand like pushed out so that no one would hit me. And they did their best to not smash into me. They had pit going. It was brutal. It was a show that I remember because it would probably, you know, there's some other bands that would have never played it. Where I just said, fuck this. And we said, you know what? We're going to make it happen. We're, you know, look, we are going to try to do our best to make everything happen no matter what. And we're not going to, you know, we don't give up easily.
For sure.
We're sick. We don't feel good. We don't give up easy.
Well, some of the most memorable shows are ones like that. You know, I remember playing a show at a Dallas House of Blues where the entire PA shut off. Like power completely, nothing. No, this is a house of blues. You don't expect it to happen there. So like, and their like their microphones weren't on or anything, right? So it sold out show. So I'm just like with no microphone. I'm just talking to the crowd, you know, like, hey, like, sorry, we don't know what's going on. And like, you know, you figure, okay, we'll wait it out. Wait for a minute or two. Nothing's figured out. Nothing's changed. So like, all we could do is grabbed an acoustic guitar laying around. And I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. And I just started playing a Green Day song. And everyone started singing, like, you know, just a cappella, like no power, nothing. And I'll never forget that moment, you know, like completely unplanned. And like, it sucked. Like, no one wants the fucking PA to go out when you're playing. But again, that's a moment I'll never forget. And, you know, so you kind of live for that. You know, that hardship.
Well, it makes you remember. You remember, you know, there's some shows you remember just because the crowd was crazy. You play in South America and they start doing the whole soccer chant. Soccer chants, there's nothing like them, you know? It's just like, it's so inspiring. I mean, you know, I'll tell you one time, we played in Israel on my 40th birthday.
Oh, nice. I'm having my 40th birthday is in 3 days.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, we played there. I believe, my birthday was that night. I think it was July 8th, my 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of a little bitter because I was like, you know, I should be home for my birthday and whatever. But, you know, then I started realizing, man, who the fuck can say I played a show in Israel on my, you know, you can say for my 22nd birthday or my 26th.
Oh, yeah.
But your 40th, you know, sure. 40, you know, if you're going by the decades, those are kind of, you know, landmark, you know, milestones, whatever you want to call it.
Big one.
So I'll just never forget. We had to walk past the crowd in line to get into the club. So we get in the club, and you know, some people, you know, knew or whatever, but you know, a couple of people, "Hey George, you know, happy birthday," whatever, blah blah blah. So we get in, we get on the stage, we start playing. We play like, I think, three songs. We usually do three songs or four songs, and then we take our break. We take the break, I turn around, and the whole crowd starts singing happy birthday.
Ah.
You know, and I'm telling you, listen, I mean, say what you want, whatever. I'm big and mean and evil and whatever. But I swear, I mean, I almost had some, I mean, I was choking it back. Seriously, yeah. I was just like, wow, you know, because it just means a lot to me. Because it just tells you people care, man. You know, that's the one thing, you know. And those are kind of when you have those memorable shows. Sometimes you have memorable shows because, you know, like, trust me, we play some festivals. When we did the DVD, you know, where we, you know, just basically the history of Cannibal Corpse, the whole DVD we did, we had Denise Kuricki following us around. She was on all the shows with us all over the place.
Yeah.
And we did Europe and we were doing all the festivals. And we weren't doing, normally we've been smart about it. We just book a bunch of shows around the festivals and we have a bus and we make a whole tour of it.
Yeah.
Because the festivals are the big money. If you do the big money shows, just flying everywhere, you know, you're eating up the money by flying because most places aren't paying for your flights, you know?
Yep.
So anyway, so we did that and we were, I mean, we did some, we did that one though, where we was pretty much all flying. I remember we played in Turkey, first time, only time we've ever played there. And we played, Overkill played before us, who I love. Overkill's awesome.
Yeah.
We played after them, but we were sleeping under the tables in the dressing room right next to the stage. So really not sleeping, but kind of in and out.
Yeah.
Because we flew from somewhere in Germany, I think, or somewhere. But anyway, then we got back to the hotel after that show. And at like 4 a.m, we had to leave. It was dark out. We drove to the airport to fly to the next show.
Yeah.
And I remember just like, you know, since have met him, but I met Tom G Warrior. Those guys met him. We played, I think it was Summer Breeze Festival. They met him. Mm-hmm. And I was sleeping on a pool floaty behind this thing, you know, because I was so exhausted, you know, and whatnot. But sometimes when you're that tired, when you go through all that shit, and you know, see, my stories are really long. There should be details that kind of connect, and you know, it's like a tree; it's got all these branches.
All good, man.
But basically, the whole point is that some of those shows were some of the best ones, and just tired and just like no energy. Yeah. But the crowd comes out. The crowds are, you know, kicking your fucking head in, and then you get that energy, and you kick back, you know, it's what metal is all about, you know. I mean, it's what music really is all about. But you know, obviously, metal is my expertise. I can tell you right now, there's been a few of those shows where I just was like, man, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this show. We're just tired, or you're sick, you know, you're just you know, depressed and want to just go home. It's just been a long tour, especially like Europe, you know, and Europe's great, but sometimes, man,
I know what you mean, man.
Depending on when you tour in Europe, there's a lot of just cloudy days, a lot of cloudy weather, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get to Europe sometimes there where it's just, you know, especially like in February and, you know, like, so, you know, just some shows just, I mean, you get on the stage and it's just like the crowd is like insane and you're like, holy shit, man. And it just, you know, I mean, you just look at each other like, you know, you kind of get it. I mean, you know, we played in New York on the Decibel tour. It was the last show. Because we were doing a Slayer tour after that. Mm-hmm. There were some, we couldn't do the last like four shows because we were playing in those areas. New York's last show, PlayStation Theater,
yep.
You know, and man, we got on that stage and that was like the best fucking show. One of the best shows I ever played in my life.
Awesome.
We got the stage and we saw the guys in Suffocation. They were hanging out by the dressing rooms and whatnot. And they were just like, yeah, man. You know, and they were just, you know, yelling. And we were just like, we were kind of just stomped back because I was like, fuck yeah. But I just had that scowl. Like I was mad. Like the show was bad, but I didn't mean it that way. It was just like that scowl, just like, yeah. And we got in the dressing room. And this is going back to what I'm talking about, Rutan. We got a routine back in the dressing room. We're just sitting there. Everybody's kind of changing. And Rutan goes, that was a fucking show, wasn't it? I was like, yeah. And I started screaming. Rutan's like, fuck it. And we were all like, I think Paul was kind of reserved. I think, but Alex was like, yeah. And Barrett was kind of reserved. But me and Routine were just like, and then we all just started like losing it. Like, fuck yeah. Don't tell fucking Joe. That's how you end. And it's Routine. He's leading the charge. That's how you end the fucking tour. Don't tell fucking you. Because I was walking. Look, you know, I'm a statue. We are pretty much all statues on stage. But I was walking back and forth and looking at the crowd. And it just had that energy. It had everything to it. You know, it's crazy because you can't park in New York. You can't park your bus.
Right, by of course.
So we were just like, fuck, man. We got to, you know, it's New York. Okay, so there's lots of shit you want to go see. And I did go visit a Target there, by the way. Around the corner. But I mean, but you know, you still don't, you know, when you don't get to sleep until you want to wake up, even if you're on a schedule and you're up at, you know, you get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Most people, even, you know, if you're just laying in your bed, you know, you wake up at 8 and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to laze around here and look at my phone or whatever. But you can't do that. You got to take a shit, dump it off and dump and go, you know. And so we were kind of just like, this show's going to be so hard. And we were tired because we just didn't get to just relax how we went on our bus. But man, that show was insane. And I remember too, our manager was there, and Steve Davis is there, and Chuck Andrews is there, and some of our friends, Frank Odla's there, you know, and Brian Sow and all these guys, and the guys in Suffocation are waiting. And I think I remember we opened the door and they were just like looking like mortified, like that we were killing each other, like we were arguing with each other, like, you fucking blew it, right. Around. And yeah. It wasn't. And they're like, dude, you guys all right? Yeah, I think it might have been Terrence who was there. It was just like, dude, you guys all right, bro? And I was just like, that was the fucking best show ever. And then we just had everybody come in and we had this fucking party. Like, and of course it's New York, so we gotta get the bus to get here and leave. So we gotta leave as soon as we can.
Right.
But we had like this hour and a half, and then we're going home, so we want to get the fuck home. But you know, all our friends are there, and we just had this quick hour and a half, 2 hour burst party. Like,
right.
No, mostly me because I'm the drinker and a man. You know, the burst party with Frank and Dave Davison. You know, Revocation was there, Dave was there, and we're just doing some shots and having a good old time. But when we first opened the door, like, they just were looking like, you know, can we come hang out? They were just like, they were just thinking like, they're never going to hang out now. We had the worst show. I was like, no, those fuck are great. Because we were just yelling like maniacs.
I love it. No, it's so true. We've done the same thing. Finished tours in the same venue. And yeah, like the bus comes from Secaucus, like New Jersey or whatever. And you bring the party on the street. And the, you know, the crew's loading up the bus. And it's like, we got to go. And it's like, wait, hey, still hanging out. So,
oh, dude, I was walking down with my backpack,
yep,
bottle of Jack
there
Daniels,
you
and you know, fucking, you know, five beers, you know, like, right. Usually we got everybody's, you know, got the shit and whatnot, but we were going home. But it's like, no, don't forget the beers, man. I'm gonna take them home. You
know? Exactly. Well,
but
dude,
I mean, you know,
thank you, man. Thanks for this. This has been incredible. Awesome conversation. Great to pick your brain and shoot the shit. Well, we got the new single Inhumane Harvest out now. New record out April 16th, Violence Unimagined. Anything else to tell the people before I let you go, man?
Just weather the storm.
Yep.
Go get the record when it comes out. Thanks for the people who did the pre-orders and bought all the other stuff and even checked it out, hated it, loved it, whatnot. And hopefully somewhere, sometime we'll be seeing people on tour. And thank you for the interview. And
thank you.
And stay safe and stay metal.
Yeah, man. I love it. I love it. George Corpse Grinder Fisher on Lead Singer Syndrome. I love it, man. Thank you so much. Here's a tune, Inhumane Harvest, a new one from Cannibal Corpse on Lead Singer Syndrome. And there is new music from the legends in Cannibal Corpse and Inhumane Harvest. Their new record, Violence Unimagined, is out April 16th. You can go get it on their website, which I believe is still cannibalcorpse.net. Yep, always has been. They have not slowed down even a little bit, which is awesome to see. Corpse Grinder, what a legend. I want to thank him again so much for taking the time and speaking with me. And thanks to you for tuning in as well. We do this every week, so make sure you hit the subscribe button and you tune in and go back. Maybe you're into metal. You probably are. If you like this episode, go back because I have talked to tons of awesome guests in the metal genre, and there will be many more to come for sure. Next week, going to switch gears a little bit. Jeff from Thursday will be on the show. And on Tuesday, live on Twitch, John from the Maine. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Completely free. Head over there. Check it out. Interact with me and John. John is the best. Well, that's it. That's the show. Go shovel your driveway or something. I will see you next week. Peace and love.